My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Welcome to a new week of the show. This week is a evergreen week. So we're going to dip back into the pool of what is a favorite average game, you know, one of those 7 out of 10 titles that you love. This is just fun to ask guests because it digs into their, you know, personal tastes and usually is something obscure and fun. So I ask that to Andrew Elmore. Large space between his first and last name there for some reason. I don't know. But yeah, revisiting the question again with a returning guest. So this is a pretty solid week just to kind of have some nice comfort discussion and some entertaining time. So that's what you got. I've got no other major updates. I have finished essentially my portion of work on the Beat 'em Up Volume 1 book, and I'm ordering a test printing of that now. So I've got like a little intro to write, and maybe like a not an epilogue, but just like something maybe to kind of like tie it all together at the very end. But otherwise, it's laid out, written, put together, and a test printing is on the way. So I'll be working on kind of ensuring that it looks good, then work on actually kind of producing the book, absolutely through Kickstarter and everything. So I would expect that probably sometime next month, but I'll have more details as I ensure that it looks like it's ready to go and fully baked and polished up. So that's been fun to do. Otherwise, same old, same old. After this Final Fight book, I'll be going into the retro game zine next issue. I should be receiving actually the first issue 1 and 2 from UPS today. So I'll be mailing those out and getting those out to Kickstarter backers, but that means I'll have them posted up and available for sale on my website here, pixelsandpolygons.net, within the next couple of weeks. We're going to consider January 1st, the release day for issue 1, and then it'll just be monthly from there as I continue to roll. So I'll begin production of issue 3, which has already kind of been talked about a little bit, or at least it was teased on the back cover of issue 2, and I think I posted online, whatever. Issue 3 is going to be covering Final Fantasy XI, which is, you know, it doesn't sound retro, but it's retro enough, and it's my zine. I can do what I want. And then we'll go back into some kind of more obscure ones and some older titles. And this thing will be kind of jumping all over the map from retro gaming. I also got a lot of cool contributors who like want to participate and help cover some obscure games as well. So it'll be fun kind of ramping that up. And I'll put together probably like issue 3, 4, 5, like in like a little combo Kickstarter, you know, so people can easily kind of save on kind of some shipping and get them all kind of just together, you know, in advance, and then release them monthly throughout the year. But yeah, that's kind of what I'll be doing there. Then beyond that, starting work on the volume 5 of 32-bit library, which will be the greatest hits book. So that way I can dip into a bunch of different publishers like I did with volume 4, but these are all going to be games that were re-released with that creepy and crazy like green spine, and I never liked seeing that on my shelf. But all those greatest hits titles, I'll be picking, you know, 50 solid ones, 50 games that, you know, of a good variety to kind of help put together in that volume. And this way, some of the publishers I would have been able to get to or cover in this kind of format because there just isn't enough content or variety for them that would kind of fit in naturally. So I think this will be a fun way to make sure some games get represented in this book form before we kind of pivot and see where we go from there. So a lot of projects, all in different phases, but all lined up. Just really excited about this Final Fight one to kind of get out there too. So You can continue to follow along. I posted an update about that book on my Patreon. That's all free. If you do want to help support me and the stuff that I do, there is a paid tier, and you do get a review of the month postcard. I shipped out the first months already, but you can still jump on board and get the next one. Other than that, continue to enjoy the podcast, hopefully. And if you do enjoy it, rate, review it, thumbs up, share it, tell a friend. That's the most important thing, I think. Share it on social media and tell a friend about it if you have been liking what you've been hearing. My whole thing is, you know, I'd like to just kind of meet and interact with folks all around who like old video games and like talking about old video games. So the more shares, the more opportunity I have to meet new folks, and new folks mean new guests or potential collaborators on future things, and just, you know, more of a chance to just kind of share my voice and get to know and meet new folks. So that's all I got for this week. Really good at rambling. Man, if I can get some way to like monetize rambling, like, oof, y'all, I'm good. Enjoy the episode. Andrew's up top with the episode this week. See y'all next week. Bye. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the show. Andrew Elmore is here again.
Hello.
We are recording another episode together. Yeah, so just to kind of warm things up and get to talking, that's how you lead a conversation naturally and yep. Doesn't have any odd conjuncture or anything here. This is totally flowing. What's the game you're looking forward to? What's the next big game you think you kind of want to try out, or game you've that's on your radar that you've heard of that you're anticipating? Like, what do you think that next one is for you?
Oh, that's a good question, because I would have said East, but that just came out like a week ago, so I've been playing that now. Slitterhead is coming out here in a few days, but it's not like a I'm dying to play this kind of thing. That's a, oh, this looks rad kind of thing. Let's see.
I was really stuck on Monster Hunter World for a long time, and... Mm-hmm. Now that Wilds is coming out, like I know, or next year, like I feel like that's going to be a game I'll definitely want to play a bunch of. But what's odd is there's been this, you know, at least at the time of this recording, there's been like a beta available for like this last couple of days. And mm-hmm. I can have tried it out and played it for a bit, and I've not even like turned on the system to even like play it. And it's so weird because I really, really, really want to play that game. And I technically have the chance to like get a little like taste of it right now, but I've yet to do that.
No, I know that exact feeling. I almost never play like demos and stuff, especially if it's something that I know I'm going to play regardless. But no, I think like I'm really looking forward to like Stalker 2. I'm really looking forward to Demon School from Microsoft. That is going to be extremely rad. But the other thing I was going to talk about, I just had it in front of me. Where was it? Oh, yeah. Genki is coming back with a new Shutoku Battle or Tokyo Extreme Racer.
Oh, really?
That they're putting out on Steam. And they have not put out a new game in like, I don't even remember how many years, but not since like relatively early in the life of the Xbox 360. Since then, they've just been kind of like maintaining like mobile presence and stuff like that, and just kind of on a like I honestly thought the company was just gone, and then out of the blue one day a couple months ago they just blasted out onto social media and stuff. They're like, hey, we're back, we're making another one of these. And I'm like, well, even if it's terrible garbage, even if it's like you know, a broken mobile game running on a computer and it's a horrific nightmare, I am just happy to see signs of life from Genki at all. Just happy to see they're still breathing. Happy to feel a pulse from one of my very favorite studios that I thought was just kind of quietly gone forever. So regardless of how their new Tokyo Extreme Racer turns out, I am very, very excited about that.
Yeah, 2009, they helped support Spectrobes Origins for the Wii.
There you go.
Wow. So what an odd thing just to just disappear.
Yeah, the last Shutoku Battle game, or, you know, Tokyo Extreme Racer as it was usually known here, because they always got different names when they were put out by different companies. You know, like Konami called it Street Supremacy, there was you know, Tokyo Highway Battle or whatever on PS1, stuff like that. But The last one that they made that we got was called Import Tuner Challenge on the 360 over here. And that game's damn near a masterpiece, despite looking incredibly generic. So I'm very cautiously excited to see what happens from here.
They also, same year as Import Tuner Challenge, Kengo Legend of the Nine, which is considered a spiritual successor to Bushido Blade.
To Bushido Blade,
Thank you.
I love Genki, dude.
Yeah, I do as well. So yeah, I randomly was like a swap meet purchase at the Cypress swap meet in Southern California. Traded in some random games and to this dude at a stand there who was a regular fixture there that I always visit, and got Tokyo Highway Battle on the original PlayStation. And I was like, well, this is like, so like I can just drive around. And then when I won a race, I just flash my high beams at somebody, and then we just start racing. Oh, this is cool.
And then it's a fighting game?
Yeah. Yeah. That was just super fun. Like I was into that. And so I've just kinda like followed, you know, some of their odds and ends over the years and everything as well too. I like that weird little logo they had also, that little yellow just splotch thing. Like, I don't know. It just stood out to me.
It's like the president or whatever. I think their kid drew it.
Oh, really?
If I recall right, it was just like, little kid doodled a smiley face, and they just vectorized it and made it the logo.
Okay, well, there you go. Genki, that's coming back. So I'm interested to try that. It's only on PC. I don't have a PC, so
I can't imagine the minimum specs are going to be too terribly high.
Sure. I'm sure there's probably a way to try it out. But I'm still excited. That's a thing. Thanks you for putting that on my radar then. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, me too.
Rad. All right. Well, then let's jump into the icebreaker. Then we'll get into the main meat and potatoes. I only say that on this. I don't use that phrase ever in real life. And I've said that like 15 times recording this podcast of calling something the meat and potatoes. I'm a vegetarian. It is literally not in my vernacular, but here it is just this like weird default thing that I feel I have to say.
Let's get into the potatoes and other potatoes.
Yeah, let's get into the potatoes and optional starches. let's see. We want to pick a fun one here. So I don't want to stump you with it, but what game important character? So it doesn't have to be the main character. But what game important character have you ever disliked the most?
Oh, man. I mean, everything in me is immediately screaming Chadley. he's just my new go-to of just like, man, I hate that little twerp.
I mean, that's fine. It would be an appropriate answer. we are recording this back-to-back from our last episode. Whenever these air, this may... Actually, this one may air before the other one, so watch out.
The wounds of Chadley are still fresh in the flesh of us all.
Yeah, watch out, Chadley fans. There may be more Chadley conversation in another Andrew episode. But yeah, I tried to dunk on Sora from the Kingdom Hearts series last time I asked this. I'm just never emotionally attached to him. I think that people who love the Kingdom Hearts games love like the universe and the lore and like the entire world of it. I don't know that anybody is solely like just rooting for and like Sora's my boy. Yeah, like that's my guy right there. Love his character arc.
I don't know. I haven't played those, but
I've only played the first one and only partially. So I'm just hating from afar. It goes back to my teenage years of hating things without any desire to actually look into it, learn otherwise.
No, I think actually Kingdom Hearts is one of those things that you are perfectly safe to just blindly hate from afar. I think that's probably something that we can just go ahead and write off.
I have friends who just love that series, and
sometimes as people, we have friends that need help and they don't know it, and you know,
I'm trying to just save them from themselves.
Exactly.
So Chadley then.
Yeah, sure.
Lock it in.
I could probably give you a better answer, but just, man, God, I just want to give that little twerp a swirly and stuff him in a locker.
Swirly may short circuit his circuitry.
That's the idea.
That's just murder then. You just straight up want to murder
him. I will kill that boy.
Okay. Chadley's dead.
Rebirth, I mean, he is a kind of essential, I think, through the plot of like helping the cast get along. Like, I guess we'll figure it out. Part three, we'll figure it out. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, then we'll shift the gears and go into the impossible patty and potatoes of it all.
There you go. Yes.
sounds stupider and stupider.
Both burger and french fries.
Yeah, I'm actually, as speaking this out loud, I'm hungry, and now these are all things that I'm wanting to hang up and go eat. So we'll figure this out. But today's question, it is the least thrilling. Well, maybe it isn't, but I try and come up with like questions that are like really unique or get you thinking or like draw out some really like cool conversation and everything. But this one was one that was just so easy to come up with. But what is a personal favorite game or a game that doesn't get enough attention? And we just kind of share about it and everything. And so it's really easy, but it's also one of the more interesting ones I get to ask. So that's what we're picking. So what is a personal favorite game or a game that doesn't get enough attention that you'd like to bring to the show and share about?
Yeah, this one's frightening because there are so many, you know, games that I think are really, really cool that did not get a ton of either like commercial attention or just attention or affection in general. And like, that's normal. That's part of just like being in the world. Like, not all, you know, art that everyone thinks is interesting or neat is going to necessarily have widespread, you know, appeal or market penetration or whatever. You know, like, it's not just because something is cool doesn't necessarily mean it's going to find all of the people that would be into it necessarily, you know? Yeah. So like, it's tough because there are so many things that I feel like would be a great answer for this prompt that it's almost paralyzing.
Well, the thing is, we'll be able to answer this question probably many times over, and it'll be easy to come back to it. So you'll be able to answer this question a few more times before the internet evolves and I no longer have the ability to podcast.
Yeah, I mean, heck, we could probably do this one every time and never run out of things to talk about. But I think that's why I kind of avoided it the first couple times, is I was like, it's just too, like, where do I even start? And I think the actual answer is just start. Like, just pick something at random. I want to talk about Ribbit King.
Ooh, Ribbit King. Okay. Yeah.
If that's all right with you, I would love to talk about Ribbit King.
No, let's do that. Did this, and we mentioned this offline, and well, we were online, but off the recording. Was this one of those Blue Sky shares when you were coming up with your list? Okay, cool. So, good to know. So then, Ribbit King. Well, what's your exposure to it? What's the love that you have for this? Where's this coming from?
Yeah, so originally I played the PS1 game Kero Kero King, which is I don't think that came out here, but I played that after, I want to say, I found it on my buddy Vink's website. He runs an export shop out of Japan called Japan Retro Direct. I want to say I got it from him a while back, but I don't recall.
I buy stuff from him.
He's great. Yeah, I love that dude. Yeah. Go buy stuff from Japan Retro Direct, folks.
Yeah, actually, I got a copy of Parappa the Rapper, PS1, the Japanese version of it, and it was like $10. It was not very much at all, and the shipping was super cheap, and then it showed up really quickly. But then when I opened it, I didn't realize it was like going to be this full complete edition. So it has this like giant fold out like poster, and like I was not anticipating that. I just wanted it for the cover art and for just to have the neat like import copy on my shelf. And so it went above and beyond. So plugging, you know, buying import games, I guess, go to Japan Direct for sure. Anywho, there we go.
So I will just grab random weird looking PS1 games off his shop all the time. And one time I grabbed a Kero Kero King and fell in love with it immediately as soon as it popped it in and started playing. As soon as I realized what it was, I plugged in another controller and handed it to one of my kids. I was like, here, you're going to get a kick out of this. For anyone that doesn't know, Kero Kero King or Ribbit King is frog golfing. It's frolfing. You have a big cartoon mallet, big old hammer, and there's a little frog sitting on a little platform in front of you. You're a golfer, and you slam the mallet onto the back of the platform, and it launches the frog. And the frog lands on the ground and jumps a little bit instead of, you know, like a golf ball rolling. And the idea is then to get that into the cup, so to speak. But there's all kinds of fun, goofy, like almost mini golf style like stage hazards and weird like landscape navigation stuff to happen and all that to get around. But basically, it's a really cool, weird, fun, lighthearted, creative game with a lot of just really fun, happy art and really cool, like, just sense of style and personality to it. And they put that out over here on PS2 and GameCube later on as Ribbit King. Mm-hmm. And the GameCube one is horrifically expensive now because, of course, it is. PS2 one is not too bad. I mean, whatever, you could probably just emulate either of them, but I do heartily recommend people checking out either of those at some point, or at least, you know, go on YouTube and scroll through some gameplay or something and see if that looks like it might be interesting to you. But I think it's one of those games that it is a little bit less obvious how just goofy and fun it can be in the hands when you're watching it. I guess it's just one of those things that once you actually like get your hands on it and smack that frog with a big old hammer and start to understand how chaotic and strange that game is, it all just starts to fall into place. I don't know.
Yeah, golf games are games that I've always enjoyed. I never really quite enjoyed golf in real life or anything, but like in video game form, I'll always like really enjoy them. Like the NES Open on the original NES mm-hmm. is one that I spent just so much time playing, and then from there, yeah. just a ton of games, like of all types, like even today. And then when somebody does something creative with it like this, like I'm always on board just to kind of make it silly. Like there was at the same time, Dark Cloud 2 on the PS2 mm-hmm. was out, and you could convert the dungeons into like a golf course as well for like a weird mini game. And I was like, I almost want to just exclusively do this. I don't want to play the other game at all. I want to play just this game. So like just a good, like ridiculous golf game is always a good time. So yeah, this one, the cover art is always one too that I think people will maybe skip it or just ignore it just because of like how like colorful and cute like the cover art is. So you may just be like, you know, I don't know what that is. I don't want to play anything like that, you know, and just
yeah,
kind of
it's
judge
a little
it by
bit generic
cover.
Looking too. Like it's not super, you know, eye catching, and it's also not immediately clear what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does Ribbit King mean? The word golf is not in there.
Mm-hmm.
Frog is implied, but like,
yeah,
that's about it. You know,
I don't even see like a golf club on the cover. I'm looking at it right here. I don't even see a golf club on the cover. Yeah, so it's not easy to necessarily tell for sure.
Yeah.
I had never played the import, that original PS1 copy, at all, but it just seems like it's more of the same. So that's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it's meant to be like a sequel or kind of just like a retread or what. I guess I've never actually really looked into this. Is that a different studio?
It was, yeah, it is different developer, huh. And it's published by Media Factory, who is just the like anime publisher. So it's interesting how they got involved in a handful of games, and this was one of them.
Yeah, it looks like Kotokoto King was not published until the end of 2000 in Japan. So like PS2 was already out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the sequel or whatever, Ribbit King, looks like that didn't come out until 03, 04. Huh. But yeah, like I kind of lumped that in my head with like there's a class of like cool, colorful, creative PS2 game that didn't get talked about a lot that I kind of like grouped together in my head, and like in there with Ribbit King is stuff like Graffiti Kingdom or Magic Pangle.
Mm-hmm.
And then to some extent like GameCube stuff like Cube of War is in there. I don't know, I almost want to add like Elebits and you know, other kind of strange games like that just kind of exist in this space of like just really cool artistic stuff that no one really I don't want to say that no one talks about, because that's not necessarily true, but they were not, you know, they were not making huge waves and splashes and stuff at their time or now, you know. Even now they are still not things that people have a ton of familiarity with necessarily.
Yeah, Graffiti Kingdom was one that I've almost forgotten, and
right? God,
that was a great game. Wasn't there like a Wii follow-up or something spiritually
probably
related?
I don't remember if Magic Pangle or Graffiti Kingdom came first. It's another case where like I haven't actually played either of these in a while.
Yeah, that also, you when you mentioned, you know, a list of those colorful and kind of unique games, an early PS2 title was Adventures of Cookies or Cookie and Cream.
Yeah, Cookie and Cream, yeah.
And Cookie Mix. You played with the analog sticks, one for each character on screen, and it was just like a really unique way to just play a simple style of game if it was just one character in one lane and that was it. But to do that both with your brain and analog sticks together was fun. Or the two-player mode where you just share the controller.
Or hold a controller and try to... Yeah, that's a FromSoft game too.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. FromSoft was doing a lot of stuff back then. They were made Cookie and Cream. They did a follow-up to it on the DS. They did a bunch of weird stuff like that on Xbox in Japan. They did games like Thousand Land and stuff like that. They were all like... cutesy and strange in that way, but I've been just completely memory holed by history at this point.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of just really cool, interesting stuff back then that's very friendly and inoffensive, but not even necessarily like aimed at kids. It's just, you know,
just entertainment.
Yeah.
So then to take it back to the golf angle.
Yes.
Is there a golf game since this that you've like maybe played and enjoyed that's been approachable maybe in the same way at all that you think you've spent some time with at all?
I mean, like there's definitely been in recent years like comedic golf games. Like there were a few in VR, I feel like. There was a, what is it, like 100-foot robot golf or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like there was another one that was similar to that, but I didn't play any of those. I know the dangerous driving people, the, you know, like the ex-burnout folks made that dangerous golf game that's kind of a little bit more of a like tech demo physics simulator, but there is an actual video game in there that I think is bit more substantive than I think it maybe gets credit for, but that's a thing. Although again, that's less golf and more just it's burnout crash mode with physics objects inside in smaller spaces, right? It's, you know.
Yeah, that was a day one buy for me when that was released. I was like, yeah, of course, I'm on.
Oh yeah. That's, again, another great thing to just have on Steam if you have kids. Just like, here, just fire it up and blow everything up for a few minutes. Have a time. It's great. But yeah, I don't know. I played like 3D Ultra Mini Golf Deluxe on PC as a kid. So I think that might have been a Sierra published joint that had a lot of weird, like creepy stuff in it. Mm-hmm. That was probably not actually creepy, but when I was a small child, it was just odd enough that I was like frightened. I don't know. Yeah, I played like Camelot's Mario Golf RPG and Game Boy Color.
It's one of my favorite games. Yeah.
Yeah, there was Satoru Iwata's Golf on Famicom and NES. I don't know. There are a lot of very simply like golf games I've enjoyed a lot over the years. I played some real golf as a kid. I had some fun with it. My spine's all messed up. I can't even try anymore. So it's, I don't know. I've never been like a golf guy. I don't really care. But when it gets weird in a video game, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite version of that is something like a Rubik King.
If it gets cute and weird, then
yeah,
sign
reminds
me
a little bit of like recently we got Forza Pulpo was a kind of like spiritual follow up to the Jumping Flash trilogy, and I would love to see someone do something kind of similar to a Rivet King these days. I don't know if that exists out there, but maybe there's something out on Steam or Itch or whatever that I don't know about yet. But now I kind of want to see what I can find.
That's cool. All right. Well, that is it's definitely one that ranks up not talked about, not discussed highly, but an underappreciated game for sure that could use some love there. So
yeah,
check out that Ripper King, y'all.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's going to do it then for the episode. Unless you have anything else you want to share other than that, we're going to do an immediate and hard stop if you say otherwise.
No, I'm good. Pull the ripcord. Eject, eject, eject.